Welcome to The Brand Advantage. This series, brought to you by Bluetex, explores how brand creates real competitive leverage by increasing enterprise visibility, strengthening credibility, and ultimately raising enterprise value. Each episode distills proven strategic thinking from the Bluetex perspective into focused, practical insight, designed to be consumed, not pitched. Strong brands create advantage long before the deal. Now let's jump into another episode of The Brand Advantage.
Okay, let's start with a scenario. I think it's going to feel really familiar to a lot of our listeners, especially if you're in that B2B or tech space.
I think I know where you're going with this.
So picture this. You've got a company and the product is. It's incredible. The substance is there. Maybe it's some complex cloud software that, you know, fixes a huge problem and no one else can.
Or a government consultancy that's saving agencies millions. The product itself is a Ferrari.
A Ferrari, exactly. But it's parked in a dark garage.
With the door locked.
Right. Nobody knows it's there. Or worse, the right people land on the website, see the sales deck, and they don't get it. They bounce. The company just sort of blends into all the noise.
It's the invisible genius problem. You see it constantly, especially with engineering-led companies.
They're true. So leadership panics. They go, okay, we have an image problem. They hire an agency, write a huge check, and 6 months later, they get a shiny new logo and a launch party.
With the expensive snacks.
Of course. And then what happens? Crickets. Sales are flat. The market is just as confused as before.
It's the classic lipstick on a pig. Or, to be a bit kinder, it's like putting a fancy paint job on a car with no engine. You bought the look, but you definitely didn't buy the leverage.
That distinction look versus leverage, that is exactly what we're digging into today. We are doing a deep dive into the very high-stakes art of choosing a branding partner.
And we should be clear, this is not about fonts.
No, thank goodness. Yeah. This is not about serifs versus sans serifs or why you should pick navy blue. This is about finding a strategic partner who can align with your business vision and actually, you know, move the needle on revenue.
And for this, we're pulling from a really solid guide by Eddie Bridgewater at Bluetex. It's built specifically for those complex sectors, tech, B2B, government.
Yeah, that context is so important. Selling a SaaS platform is not like selling sneakers on TikTok.
Not at all. And Bridgewater's whole point is we have to get past just looking good. We need to understand how a partner helps you drive actual growth and clarity.
So let's start with a word that is on, I think, slide 2 of every agency pitch deck ever created.
Oh, I know this one. Alignment.
Alignment. It's the ultimate buzzword.
Right up there with synergy.
It really is. But here's the problem. When a marketing director hears alignment, they usually think, do we have the same taste? Do we both like minimalism? It's a vibes check.
And that is the trap. If you define it as just agreeing on aesthetics, you've already lost. According to the source, true alignment is, well, it's much more clinical.
Not about vibes.
Not at all. It's about data. Bridgewater breaks it into three non-negotiable layers. First, does the agency really understand your business objectives?
And not just, we sell software.
No. I mean, how do you make money? What are your margins? What's your customer acquisition cost? That level of detail.
That's a heavy lift for a designer.
It is. Which is why you're not hiring a designer. You're hiring a business consultant who can speak the language of design.
Okay, so that's layer one. What's two?
Market dynamics. Who are you up against? What's the noise level in your sector? If they don't know who you're fighting, they can't build your armor.
And the third layer?
This is the one that I think gets missed most often. Do they understand the pain of your audience?
The pain points.
Right. If they don't get why a procurement officer is terrified of making the wrong choice, they can't build a brand that projects safety and reliability. They'll just make it look cool, which might actually scare that buyer away.
The source has a great little litmus test for this. They call it the future test.
I love this. It's such a simple way to frame it. A vendor looks at who you are today. Right now.
On this particular Tuesday.
Yeah. A strategic partner is obsessed with where you are going. They're asking about your next funding round, your M&A plans, your 5-year pipeline goals.
That is such a critical distinction. Yeah. Because if they build a brand for a 50-person company and you scale to 500 in like 18 months.
That brand is going to break. You'll outgrow it like a pair of shoes.
And the consequences are real, right? It's not just an ugly logo.
No, it's vague messaging.
Right.
It's design that has no purpose. And the real killer, the brand, actively fails to support the sales team.
Oh, we've all seen that. The sales team gets the new deck, they look at it once, and then they go back to the old one they made themselves in PowerPoint.
Because it actually explains what the company does.
Right.
And that is the ultimate failure. If your sales team is embarrassed by the brand, or if they spend the first 20 minutes of a call just correcting what the website says, you don't have alignment. You have friction. And friction kills deals.
Okay, so if we know we need a partner, not a vendor, what does that actually look like? The source outlines a few key traits.
Yeah, there are three big ones. The first one is strategic depth. A partner has to see branding as a business tool, not just an art project.
So in practice, if you ask them, why this tagline? And they say, it just sounds punchy.
That's a huge red flag. It's subjective.
But if they say, we chose this tagline because it directly counters the skepticism we found in our buyer research.
Now you're talking. That's strategic depth. You want their rationale, not just the pretty picture. The second trait is experience in complex markets.
This is key for our listeners in B2B and tech.
Absolutely. The source calls this the translation skill, which I think is perfect.
The translation skill. I like that.
Because if you're a tech company, you have sophisticated offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Your engineers are building things that are incredibly hard to explain simply.
The curse of knowledge.
Exactly. A generalist agency might just dumb it down and insult your buyer. A super niche agency might get lost in the jargon and basically write a white paper for your homepage.
Which no one will read.
So boring. A real partner can translate. They take that complexity and they turn it into a clear, compelling story without losing the nuance. They respect the intelligence of the audience.
That is such a tricky balance, especially in, say, cybersecurity. You can't just say, we keep you safe. That's meaningless.
Right, but you also can't put API documentation on the landing page. And in those regulated fields, you're dealing with long sales cycles. You have to sell to the user, the CISO, the board.
And they all care about different things.
Totally different things. A partner with that experience knows how to build a brand that speaks to all of them at once.
Okay, what about the third trait? Collaboration style. This feels a bit softer.
It sounds soft, but the source argues it's actually structural. Branding shouldn't be a black box process where an agency disappears for 3 months and comes back with a big reveal.
The ta-da moment.
It almost never works. Not in the real world. The best partners are transparent. They want stakeholder input. But, and this is key, they still lead. They maintain momentum.
So they listen, but they don't just do what you tell them.
Exactly. You want them to push back. But you want informed pushback. You want them to say, we heard your concern, but here's why the market data points us in this other direction.
Okay, let's get into the weeds on specific capabilities, because after all the strategy talk, you do have to actually make things.
Yeah.
The source looks at strategy, naming, and visuals.
Right, and on strategy, the key thing is its connection to revenue. It can't just live in a PowerPoint deck. It has to support what the source calls buyer confidence.
So the strategy has to answer the question, why will this help us win?
Precisely. If the agency can't explain how the brand will generate demand or shorten the sales cycle, the strategy isn't done.
Now, this next one is my favorite. Naming. The source calls it a naming minefield, which feels very accurate. Everyone thinks they can do it right.
Oh, yeah. Just grab a whiteboard and some pizza and come up with cool words like Ignite or Apex.
That's the recipe for a legal nightmare.
It really is. The source points out something that gets missed in those sessions, which is risk management.
Risk management in naming.
Absolutely. It's not just about what sounds cool. Can you own it legally? Can you get the URL? Can you get the trademark in the US and the EU and Asia?
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about the global trademark part.
Or does the name mean something awful in another language?
Yeah.
It happens. A good partner works with legal teams early to screen names before you get attached.
And they think about the future, too.
Yes. Brand architecture. If you call yourself Blockchain Solutions, Inc., what happens when you pivot into AI? You're trapped by your own name.
Okay, let's talk visuals. The source makes a big point about it being a system, not just a logo.
This is such a critical mind shift. A logo is a stamp. A system is a toolkit. Your visual identity has to work everywhere. On a website, in a slide deck, on a giant trade show booth. It needs to be flexible.
And the trap here is chasing trends, right?
Totally. You chase a trend, you're just putting an expiration date on your brand. By the time you launch, it already looks dated. The goal is longevity, a system that can evolve with you.
I want to talk about something the source brings up that's pretty unique, the DC factor. It's about geography and industry.
Yeah, this part is really interesting. Bluetext is a DC-based agency, so they talk about that market. It's government adjacent, very focused on credibility, procurement cycles.
So there's a benefit to hiring local.
Yeah.
A home field advantage.
There is. But, and this is the twist, the source argues that while industry experience is good, perspective matters more.
What does that mean?
It means you have to watch out for the template trap. If an agency only does, say, government contracting, they might just use the same playbook over and over.
I know that playbook. The serif font, the globe icon, the eagle.
The patriotic colors. It signals safe, but it also signals boring. You blend in. The best partners combine that domain expertise with a fresh perspective. They know the rules, so they know how to break them just enough to stand out.
That's a great point. Because your brand isn't just for your buyers. It's for your future employees, too.
Exactly. You won't attract top tech talent if your brand looks like a dinosaur.
Okay, so let's make this practical. I'm a marketing director. I'm sitting across from an agency. What are the green flags? How do I know I found the one?
The source says to pay close attention to their questions. Not just their presentation, their questions.
What's a good question versus a bad one?
A bad sign is if they just agree with everything you say. If you say, we need to target everyone, and they just nod and say, okay.
They're just taking your order.
Right. You want the chef, not the waiter. You want them to push back and say, why everyone? Who's your most profitable customer? Let's start there. If they jump straight to creative ideas before they understand the business problem, that's another red flag.
The source also mentions looking for a long-term investment mindset.
Yeah, this goes back to the brand as an asset. The right partner is already thinking about what happens after the launch. How do you govern the brand? How do you activate it? How do you make sure new hires understand it?
Brand governance. It sounds dull, but it's what stops the brand from falling apart in 6 months.
It is. And the ultimate indicator, the source says, is just trust. When the strategy, the process, and the communication all line up, it feels productive, not reactive or transactional.
Productive versus reactive. I like that. So one last thing before we wrap. Timing.
Mm-hmm.
When is it actually the right time to do this? It's a huge undertaking.
The source gives three main triggers. One, you've just outgrown your positioning. The company is fundamentally different now.
We're not just a widget maker anymore moment.
Exactly. Two, you're entering new markets. Going global or going from commercial to government. And three, a major strategic pivot.
And the payoff for all that pain.
It's friction reduction. A clear brand just makes everything else easier. Sales, recruiting, marketing. Everything is more effective because the story is finally clear.
So to summarize our deep dive, a brand isn't just decoration. It's a core business asset. Choosing a partner isn't about finding someone to make things look pretty.
It's about finding someone who can translate your complex reality into a clear narrative and who isn't afraid to challenge you to get there.
I want to leave our listeners with one final thought, something to really chew on from the source. It says that a great brand clarifies why you matter.
That's a powerful idea.
So think about your own brand right now, your website, your sales deck.
Hmm.
If you weren't in the room to explain it, would it clearly communicate why your company matters? Or does it just explain what your company does?
That difference between what and why, that's usually where the money is.
That's the whole ballgame. If your answer is just what, it might be time to start looking for that strategic partner. Thanks for diving in with us.
My pleasure.
See you next time.